Hey listeners, you're tuning in to a podcast about Kids in the Hall that easily veers off into mature subject matter and includes a whole heck of a lot of swearing. Enjoy the show, eh? Welcome to Kith and Tell, a podcast about Kids in the Hall created by a tiny god who is shorter than you think. We'll be reviewing every episode with witty banter and unmissable segments like, while we'll never talk about Buddy Cole's Montreal monologue ever again. I'm Kalina McCordoff in London, England, and I am joined by Hans Seidemann in Vancouver, Canada.
With such tiny hands and feet.
Stu Derricotic in Victoria, Canada.
Fun fact, when I was a kid, I actually played the donkey in that porn.
Oh. And Trevor.
Were you 12, Stu? Were you 12?
Wow, no, Hans, that's a really inappropriate thing to
say. Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Yeah.
And Trevor Record in Vancouver.
The only reason you three ain't high-class whores is that our prices are too low.
It's better because he's holding a baby.
And let us note that we do have a special guest today, Baby Gwen, also known as Trevor's fourth child. So we'll be reviewing episode 5 of season 5, which aired on December
4.
What?
Isn't it 4?
What? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's play the count to 5 game.
I have many fingers. So we'll be reviewing episode 4 of season 5, because I can count.
Yeah, you can.
Which aired on 7th of December, 1994. So let's kick off with our sketch rundown. We have got God is Dead. The kids take us on a short philosophical journey and prove that not only did God exist, but he had tiny hands and feet and was really light, too.
I liked his little jacket.
Yeah, I know. It's a fucking good jacket. I need it. New boots where workers are exploited for a steel-toe boot racket.
Yeah. Classic. Classic scam.
And the hookers are back. One of them did a porno and got to keep the donkey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Time flies. A domestic argument spirals into a breakup, a baby, a world tour, and reunion within minutes.
Yeah, that was...
The hookers... That was go ahead.
Oh, no. It was just like, I don't know if I even like that one. But
there was a sailor.
It was a baby sailor.
I mean, that was his outfit was great. Real mother boy.
Big mother boy energy.
I thought it was good in the sense that, like, you knew what the conceit was after the first reveal, but the way that the conceit sort of unveils itself was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Then we had the hookers with prices. Rudy figures charging $200 for a hand job is the secret to Julia Roberts style success.
Nice. I mean, if you're only charging 25 cents for a hand job, there's only so much, you know, progress you can. You're not getting into the high class books at those prices. That's for sure.
It's a volume game, you know. Come on,
you got to know your market. Montreal. We get Buddy Cole's ode to Quebec's capital, and I'm really not going to go there.
The less said about that sketch, the better.
Oh, dear God, yeah. Then we've got the hookers again in John's with no money. It turns out some poor customers try to play with, I guess, clocks and magic beans.
You think there's anyone has a clock fetish out there? You know,
everything. Oh, 100%.
Oh, they've got it.
Yeah? What would that even look like, though?
I like watching the hands go all the way around.
I like the ticking. You know, it's like the opposite of that TikTok guy where he was having to have sex in the rhythm to the weird music. It's like, I need to have extremely rhythmic sex, you know? No. No music. Just TikToks. Just TikToks. TikTok. TikTok.
We're all going to get Hans different clocks for his next birthday.
Oh yeah.
If you could get me like a what do they call those clocks? Like a cuckoo clock, but instead of like a cuckoo sound, it does John Philip Sousa music. That'd be great.
Ugh. Noted. And we cap this all off with dessert, which is the cursed sketch about fucking dipping areas.
I think it's good.
Why are you calling it cursed? Yeah, it's a solid sketch. I love the dipping areas.
Because Kalina is contrarian fun girl.
Yeah. All right, fun police. Yeah. Clearly she doesn't understand culinary art.
Oh boy, we get to have one of those things where everyone explains why something's funny.
To Kalina, yeah. Let's have three men describe humor to Kalina, yeah.
I totally set myself up for this one. This is a mansplaining episode. But anyway, segment one. God is Dead. Bruce gets to revive his film director look. The kids get to poke fun at Nietzsche. And God has a tiny jacket. So I think we all found this funny, but I just thought we could kind of discuss whether this is a little too much intellectual conceit from our beloved kids, or we don't give a fuck because it was just all around a good cold open. Mm-hmm. Who wants to kick us off?
Well, first off, I just want to say I think it's funny that you say revived his director look from all of like two episodes ago. we had the entire like he is the director from two episodes ago, and now it's revived like three episodes later. But
I just think he just I think it's his scarf, honestly.
Yeah.
He just got a new scarf and he was very excited about it. Yeah. And he thought, ooh, this nice little like soul patch is really gonna get its use in season 5.
He's writing characters just to like soft launch some of his looks.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say, I think there's a non-zero chance that that's just how Bruce was walking around town at that stage of the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put it past him to have had that soul patch and those long, you know, locks.
There's something very funny to me about Bruce being insecure and being like, it's stupid, right?
Right. Yeah, just workshopping his facial
yeah
hair.
Exactly. I love that.
Wait, I know we're gonna go to Tutor Boot later, but like Tutor Boot on the soul patch.
Oh, there is never it's not to be tolerated.
Yeah, it's a boot. It's always it's a boot. Boot.
Yeah, it's that's a perma boot.
Did you hear that, Bruce?
It was considered much more acceptable back in the 90s.
Yeah, but so was heroin back then. That doesn't mean that's a good idea.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was considered acceptable for like a part of the 90s, but almost immediately it was also like the butt of jokes. Like there was a very specific type of person had a soul patch and they were insufferable assholes for sure.
I am trying to corner where it like fits in my mind, and I think it was just like it was associated sort of with looking devilish, and for a certain set of the counterculture, that's like that's what you want, to look like the devil.
So in the 80s, the people that had that kind of like fuck you, I'm not going to do what you tell me attitude, like the fuck the bank guy, they were kind of cool in counterculture. But then we sort of got over that, and the only people that held on to that were the soul patch guys, who were like, I just don't like believe in your society, man, and like I just want to like live and be free in the outdoors with my like hacky sack, and like, and they were not like the cool counterculture rebellious, like tear this fucking thing down kind of attitude. They were just like dropouts with no, you know, nothing going on for them, right?
Oh, like, and so social agnostics.
Yeah, exactly. They're like I just believe that people should just like get along, you know. And it's like, wow, that's really fucking pat and useless. And they were the people that wore soul patches, and we rightly revile them and make fun of them because
did it eventually like morph into like full-on ICP makeup then?
Sure. Maybe. Did. Yeah, we had Limp Bizkit and Chad Kroeger, whatever, after that. But anyway, I really want to go back to the philosophical conceit of this beyond the soul patch, which we've clearly all booted. Stu, what did you make of the sketch?
I liked it. I don't know where you're coming from thinking it was too pretentious. Like, we've put up with way more pretentious shit from Bruce. And let's be real, this is a Bruce one. As a total side note, because I love doing that, I really like the wallpaper they threw
The
background. I like the whole set. I thought that was great. There's like a window to nowhere.
Yeah, no. I think it's trying to be like a German expressionist or something, you know?
But the wallpaper was like, what, Illuminati pyramids with eyes and crosses. On it?
Yeah,
great.
I liked it. Fuck, I liked that it was like philosophers and it's Bruce being a cool director or whatever, and
he's being a cool philosopher there, I feel like, you know.
Yeah. And then it was there was like, and other people disagree, and it's just nerds who are
Kevin and Scott.
The cynics. Yep. Kevin and Scott.
The cynics.
No way. Prove it.
I don't know. I enjoyed that. Oh, that's funny.
I mean, Mark's harsh, like bowl cut, yeah, again, like very German. This whole like European vibe, like we were being criticized. And then just like the fact that you bring in this tiny little god and he had this cute little fucking jacket.
I like how you were like, I want that jacket. You want a jacket that just says God on it? Wow, Kalina.
Of course Kalina wants a god jacket.
That sounds like Kalina for sure. To a T.
Do you think you're bigger or smaller than God?
He had tiny hands and feet. Kalina's hands and feet are like big old mitts, you know? Yeah.
Oh, it's very true.
Gargantuan. Brobdignarium. She went to High Five and blotted out the sun.
With the webbing, yeah.
You know what? I think this might have been my favorite cold open, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it could have run as a normal sketch.
It was
like,
really
I feel
tight.
Like we often really shit on them, but they hit it out of the park with this one.
I think the length of it was great for a cold open too, like just long enough to feel like a full complete sketch, but short enough that like, yeah, it also feels like a cold open.
Usually the cold opens are like 30 seconds at most, and I think this one was at least a minute anyhow.
But not like sometimes they have had cold opens that go longer, and those ones tend not to work because they like drag. But this one felt tight in that way, right? Despite being a little bit longer.
I also just like this whole kind of narrative arc where you're like, not only did God exist, but now he's dead and he was fucking tiny. And then there's a brief period of mourning, and then it's business as usual on the streets and highways that God built.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that.
Well, there's so many things. So let's talk maybe about the style of this sketch, because like I loved that. And I love that it went through kind of stages, as you said, Kalina, but it has that, so it's kind of black and white. At first you're thinking it's, I think you said German expressionism there, Trevor, but then it switches over to like 1940s newsreel style, where it's, you know, when it switches over to Dave being like announcing that God is dead, and then like the stock footage of just like bustling cars on the highways that God built. And it just like, I don't know, that's the style I felt moved with the progression of the bit, and the bit just kept evolving, and the style kind of went with it, and the two worked well together, I thought.
Trevor, what are your thoughts?
I liked it. Also, I muted myself because my baby was being very loud for a little bit. But
lovely.
It was really good. And I think that when you're talking about length, it was exactly as long as it needed to be, because it would have sucked if it was like, you know, a minute longer. And so it was like they got the point and they got out. It was really good. It was tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also love Dave as that character. I don't know why. Like whenever he plays it straight, I'm just
the
very
priest?
Delighted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just like very small and shows with his hands.
I just like where he goes, I've got some good news and some bad news, and then just motions to a small coffin. You know, like
yeah.
Do you think that song, What If God Was One of Us song, was out by the time this episode aired or not?
Ooh. That's a great
Google
question.
Google it, Hans,
this
quick.
This was, what, 94?
December 7th, 1994.
I think God Was One of Us might have been out by then. Woo. Yeah.
Who is
One of Us,
is
Joan
that?
Osborne, 95. So this Osborne would have come out a year after this.
Yeah. we're creating new myth here.
It was inspired, obviously, by this sketch. Yeah,
whatever, time is so stupid anyway.
What if God was,
you know,
one of us,
speaking
tiny
of
hands like all of getting, us,
speaking of melancholy bullshit, when they were like back to work as usual, it's like like the pandemic, and then I like stared at the wall for a little bit.
Yeah. We're like, Stu, hello.
God is dead.
Trevor, what did Gwen think about this?
Could you hear her murmuring in the background? That's what she thought. Yeah.
She says, God damn, I love Nietzsche.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, can we all pitch in for a little God jacket for Gwen?
That's, I mean, maybe next Halloween. We have been like working on like making our group costumes that are Kith themed like more and more impenetrable with time. So just if Gwen was God and the rest of us were like the philosophers slash priests and so forth, like that would be
or the cynics.
Oh, those vests.
Well, I mean,
those vests.
The other thing we could do is chef and waiters and vests, you
okay
know?
Well, we're moving on to that next. Oh my God. All right, segment two, dipping areas. So, look, okay, I've never understood why this is such a popular sketch, so much so that I think it was one of the only sketches that was reprised in the Yet to Be Reviewed by Us Amazon series. So I just want to see, I mean, are you guys as flummoxed as I am, or am I missing something? Trevor, start us off.
Oh, I don't actually think I'm as into it as the other guys are. And I think it's...
Give me your lukewarm take.
I'm not as against it as you are, but I feel like the comedy is really just like in the like weird, minute interactions between these guys. And it's just not as funny to me. I need Hans and Stu to explain what's so funny about it to me, because maybe I'll like it if they explain it.
Well, it's because none of you have sullied your lily white hands doing service industry like me, the man of the people.
The man of the
people. I don't know. There's something funny to me about the like restaurant shit just in general.
Is that dipping area conversations like something like you've had before about like
I have never been in a kitchen where the chefs have elicited any feedback from, like, waiters are fucking garbage in the kitchen. The best I had was when I worked at the cocktail bar, because we were a fancy cocktail bar. It was
cocktail bar.
Yeah, like it was mostly for drinks. The food was really good, but like, again, the bartenders were kind of the star, and even then they were like, why are you in my kitchen? Yeah, no, that would never happen, and also that was way more chill than I've ever heard a head chef in my entire life.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they're usually very tired and coked up.
And I think, I don't know, for me, that's partly what I find funny about it, is it's like, and I'm surprised, Kalina, that you don't enjoy it, because to me, it weirdly sort of feels like a Helen sketch. Like, it's the humor here for me is in part that it is, like, it's nice in a way that it shouldn't be, and like it's stupid how nice it is. It's like very Wisconsin nice, sort of like, yeah, let's do this, and like, no, you've been great, don't worry about it, you've been fine. And from these guys and in that environment, that feels like off, and off in a way that I find funny. Like I just love how all four of them I guess are like all standing around like puzzling over these dipping areas and being like, but the thumbprint,
yeah.
Yes, how do we need the chocolate? No, it's okay. Like,
oh, you need the chocolate dusting.
You need the chocolate dusting. No, of course, I should never have proposed it. Like, it's just, that is never a thing that would actually happen in real life, obviously. But also the fact that this, like, very, you know, minor, not actually all that important decision is being treated with, like, such gravity by so many people, and in such a, like, needlessly kind way is, like, I don't know, I find it very, like, it tickles my fancy, not in a ha-ha, like I'm laughing out loud all over the place, but in like Helen's, yes, you've made a good point there, yeah.
One of the things I love too, and this is such a throw, okay, the weird, super specific hand gestures they all do while pointing to the dipping areas or the chocolate dusting. As an aside, the sorbet looks like dog shit to me. Like, it looks awful, but the...
I thought the sorbet was the best.
No, it's the dipping areas.
Thing,
you're fucking delirious. You're colorblind. Right. You don't know what you're talking about.
Are you fucking kidding? Come on, that Cassie sorbet, I would eat the shit out of that.
But the way they all gesture to me felt extremely Kids in the Hall. Like, it has this weird surrealism to it. And, like, the softness of their voices were like, well, I'm new here. No, please speak. Like, I don't know. It's not my favorite by any means, but there's something, like, very kithy about it, you know?
In some ways, it goes beyond, like, comedy into, like, the territory. I was like, is this just a fantasy about, like, having a nice boss rather than an asshole boss?
<Yeah. laughs>
But I do think, like, so I also really liked Scott's chef, though. So his chef is kind of, it's a different character for Scott, where he's not just being, like, the super effeminate server. He's not being, like, a super butch,
yeah,
whatever.
Businessman.
Or, like, a Danny Husk. Like, he's just kind of, like, a nice creative chef person who's not like coded as really gay or straight,
yeah.
I don't think, you know, like it's a weird different character for him that I kind of get a kick
out
of.
He has a soul patch too, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
Now, are they reusing the soul patch from the
other? Yeah, just pass
yeah,
it around. Just
like pass it around
like
a joint at a Rusted Root concert.
As another aside though, I think weirdly my favorite part of this whole sketch was the protege's scream.
Yes.
Like, that was a Kevin scream delivered...
by an extra.
From an outsider.
From an outsider. And, like, I don't know if I would say he delivered it better than Kevin does. But, like, I think he delivered it as well as Kevin does. But because we haven't heard 5,000 of those screams from him already, it was, like, shocking and delightful. Yeah.
Also, that Kevin's eyebrows, they were perfect for someone who was bringing along a protege. Protege to
also,
restaurant.
Sorry, Mark's look on his face when she asks him about more dipping areas, and he has that like extremely smug Mark smile, and he says, "We're working on it." And then the entire like place erupts in laughter. Like
that probably is my favorite part. Is just like everyone somehow gets it. Yeah,
just picture perfect.
I will say like what I this probably was the time that I appreciated this sketch the most, watching it with you guys. For I think I've. I don't remember watching it as a kid, but it does come up on YouTube a hell of a lot. And every time I'm like, there must be something I'm not getting. But this time it was kind of almost that seeing it at the end of an episode for some reason, I think made it work as a cap, because it kind of brings down the level to such an absurd mundanity, if that is a word.
Yeah. No, but it's also just like, it's almost like horror movie-esque. Like, there's something, or like a Lynch movie almost. Yeah. Like, there's something, you watch it, and you're like, the fuck? We probably have watched more Kids in the Hall recently than almost anybody else.
Except for that other podcast that tried to come for us.
They're not real.
Do it.
They're
but
not
couldn't do
real
it.
People.
You couldn't do it. You
they're
didn't have the staying power.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who you are, but I hate
we've,
you.
We've never listened to their podcast. And we never will. Yeah. That's
oh boy.
But Stu, I was gonna
so
say.
Funny. But like, there's something. Yeah, there's something about the vibe of it too. Where like we've sorry, I was trying to get like we've watched so much recently, and even so, when I watch sketches like this, I get this feeling of like, what the fuck am I? Like it's like benignly off-putting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, and Stu, I was gonna say, I think some of these sketches that I oftentimes like that the rest of you don't, it's because the joke is that the joke isn't there. Like that they kind of refuse to give you the laugh line, and I love that. It's almost like cringe humor a little bit, but without the cringe.
Or even the you know, we were talking about the eyebrows for Kevin, but like that character. When have you ever seen drag of like? The hyper-specificity of an older woman who is taking her protégé boy toy out to a restaurant and has to wait. Yeah.
Heavy air quotes on protégé.
But, like, the hyper-specificity of that adds to the surrealism for me, because you're like, you never see that. And it's also, like, we all immediately understood what the dynamic was between those characters.
Oh, yeah.
And what's happening. But you just, because it's never portrayed, you're just, it feels like you fell into a soap opera in a different universe almost.
You know what though, like I guess what I'm curious about is, out of, look, we did have recurring characters pop up in the Amazon series as far as I recall, and but this is the only sketch that is kind of redone with all of them. Why do you think this one holds such clout that way?
I don't know if it holds so much clout so much as it's like it's one of the ones that they, I think, most seamlessly transitions to them all being much older, you know, like they could all be in their, you know, 50s and 60s or whatever and still do that sketch and have it work.
I don't think it's that. I think it's that because, you know, a lot of the new Amazon series is about like trying to, they do a lot of like things have changed, and the thing have changed conceit for that one was that someone sees a pie on social media. I want to try your blueberry pie, but it's not a blueberry pie. It's a tarte sauvage.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, actually, thinking about it too, like, to expand on that, like, going to restaurants has become kind of more of a culturally accessible thing, I think, too. Like, higher-end restaurants, I think, anyhow. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think, like, going to nicer, higher-end restaurants is more common for regular people than it may have been 30 years ago. So it still very much works, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of these bits that they did that were restaurant bits in the original series was oftentimes set in these very fancy restaurants that, like, they themselves, before their, you know, success in TV and film, would not have spent a lot of time in as kind of punk kids growing up, other than Mark. And so, like, for them, I think some of the fun originally was just sending those up, and then now, you know, you're doing your sketch comedy show 30 years later, and now restaurant culture is a whole thing. And so there's like another trove, like a vein of comedy to mine there. And these, you know, characters that were, you know, set in that 30 years ago kind of make a natural platform for moving it into the future with a different context, right?
Also, I love thinking about this sketch in contrast to the bear.
The bear, like where Mark gets sexually assaulted by a man in the woods, like that one? Oh, the bear,
not
the TV
the bear,
show.
The series.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what does this have to do with Mark or Kevin getting assaulted?
Sorry. I mean, like, the chaotic kitchen energy of the bear versus this is absolutely absurd. Right. Yes. All right. Well, I actually, this segues really well because I was about to mention the outfits in this sketch.
Yes.
The fucking best. I want to do like sort of a a mini segment three, another Tudor boot. We've already done the soul patches. Mm-hmm. Let's do the vests. Patch. Oh my God. Can I just say, you know, okay, so Dave's one is like so 90s. It has kind of like this weird avant-garde clock kind of pattern on it. You've got a floral one for Mark and another sort of like muted color blocking one for Bruce, which he has open. Uh-huh. It is not buttoned.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Good. I noticed that too.
Yeah. And also, yeah, you have sort of like the sort of parted artist bowl cut for mm-hmm. Bruce mm-hmm. that just goes very well with it. I'm just wondering, out of all those three vests, if you remember them, does anyone have a favorite?
Well, I don't understand why they would take the time to make restaurant unit. Like, when, what restaurant do you work at where you wear individualized vests?
A
you
very
wear
high end restaurant.
No, that's horse shit.
In the 90s, look, this lady's wearing pearls. There's like, this is a fancy joint. Ugh. They have sorbet and mousse on the dessert.
You know? I'm furious. I know you're joking, but I'm furious that you're even entertaining this.
I'm not joking. This is. No, no, no.
You would never be out of uniform.
In the 90s, there was a lot of like, you have to express your individual style.
Yeah,
there was, like,
maybe
a lot
up north in your hippie commune bullshit Prince Rupert nonsense.
I'm
but
saying,
here in the
no,
in America.
This is like the high-end version of wearing your pieces of flair.
Oh my God, you need to. You need to excuse yourself.
You're talking about TGI Friday, aren't you?
I think this is the high-end version of wearing your flair, being individual, yeah. You have your uniform. Your uniform is collared shirt and a vest, and what you do inside of that is, like, up for your expression. We're a restaurant where everyone
there
gets
is
to
no,
express themselves.
There is no expression in high-end stuff.
You
they
are,
would prefer if you were a robot.
Oh, yeah, so you worked a lot of high-end restaurants in the 90s, did you, Stu? Come on, man.
Look at Fairmont, smart
I'm
boy.
Like, I'm just going to speculate here, but like Scott's whole thing where he's like, you're going on a self-guided tour yeah. with the different dipping areas. You can use them or not. Maybe they were trying to be a hip high-end restaurant. That's all.
They clearly were, yeah. A place where you might bring your protege. To answer your question, though, Kalina, I love the clocks and also like Sphinx Lion vest that Dave mm-hmm. is wearing. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
A softer Dave look for sure.
The one that looks like in a different universe could have been like an MC Escher vest, you know.
Ooh, love that.
Anyone have any contrasting views on the vest?
I actually quite liked Mark's, but I think they're all good.
Mark's is the one that probably holds up the best today. Yeah.
We have to check the new one because I was looking at articles about because just to check if there were. Like I googled it really quickly to see if this was a recurring restaurant bit.
Yeah,
but I think they are all wearing the same vests in the Amazon
yeah,
series.
I think so.
I think they're wearing a restaurant uniform.
Yeah, no, they are wearing
the time had passed on the vests.
Yeah, they're wearing actual uniforms in the new one, I think.
I will also say on terms of a Tudor boot, like so, Mark's vest very much echoes Dave's floral shirt from the like. Very quick divorce mm-hmm. breakup baby send your kid to the Navy sketch really fucking good like
yeah.
amazing floral print button down with a really nice sort of like army green dress pant. I won't say I agree with the gold chain belt
yeah
but you know
I was just about to say I really liked the gold chain belt.
That speaks a lot about your fashion sense.
I don't dress well as a woman, it's true.
I was surprised at how much he must have been wearing huge heels in that because he's so much taller than Kevin.
Yeah, true.
I always think of Kevin as kind of tall.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Another boot from that sketch, though, is the sailor uniform on their very adult child. Very
oh,
quickly.
Boy. That looked like such a, yeah.
The real mother boy sailor suit. Yeah.
What was wrong with that?
No. Oh, sorry. Did I say boot? I meant toot. It was a very mother boy outfit that I thought was very funny. I meant it as a toot. Sorry.
Got it. Any other Tudor boots anyone wants to highlight?
Oh, obviously the hooker. I love the hookers.
Rudy obviously always gets a toot.
That's a perma-toot.
Evergreen yeah. toot. Perma-toot. Yeah.
Perma-toot.
It's just like the baseline cosmic sound that exists when you point a microphone into nothing. Yeah.
The rhythm of the spheres.
Yeah. Just a cosmic toot for Rudy.
I love the hookers, too. Like, I think they just, like, I love the red jacket.
You guys just always toot the hookers on everything for all reasons.
I love it.
They're amazing.
They're so good.
I'd like to boot.
Oh
Buddy's
my god! It was
chair,
so
which
squeaky.
Was the noisiest and worst prop that they have ever used on this entire show. That, like, how did they not notice that that chair made that much noise before filming that entire sketch? Like,
one thing we weren't going to talk about that sketch, but one of the things I loved is it was, the whole thing was Montreal.
Let me launch
wait. It's just the details. It's a little.
We're not going to talk about the content because.
Nope. In the background, so the bar is Buddy's place. Was it the Silver Dollar? Doesn't matter. But it's all decked out with.
I think it's just Buddy's, isn't it? At that point?
It used to be the Silver Dollar, and then I think I changed
it. Yeah, but then he owned his own bar.
Oh, because it burned down, yeah. It's all decked out in Quebecois shit. And in the back, the special is poutine shooters.
Oh my god, I did not see that. That's
you
a
didn't
really
catch
good
that?
Spy.
It's so fun. And it's Love like, it. Doesn't it come? It's like pas de frites. It's like no fries.
No fries, just poutine. Just gravy and booze.
Oh, gravy and cheese curds.
And cheese curds and booze.
Oh, yum,
yeah,
yum.
Amazing.
Did you guys ever try the poutine pizza that's in Vancouver? It was in East Van for a while.
No.
It was horrible. Anywho.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
There's a lot of things people have tried to do with poutine, and none of them work unless it's just regular poutine.
Yeah.
Unless it's in Buddy's Bar. All right, so before we go, let's choose our standout sketch and worst sketch with a rating out of 5. All right, Stuart.
God is dead. Yes. I think that was just like, honestly, that's weird because I've been loving season 5 in general. I think they're really, sorry, this is a bigger topic than I really should have for a wrap up, but I'm doing it anyway.
Do it.
I've been loving season 5. I enjoyed all the way through. Like, this episode had a really good vibe to it, but looking back, I didn't really like any of the sketches particularly.
As in,
God
like,
is
if
Dead
you
was really
watch
good.
Them separately on your own.
Yeah. I don't think they really stacked up into like the catalog super well. On review, but I really enjoyed going through them. Like, the flow felt really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just really funny. Like, I feel like that's been happening a lot with the episodes where they're just like very well composed and a lot of fun. But yeah, I didn't really love any of them. I think God is Dead was the best just because it was so out there, and followed by Dessert mostly just to irk Kalina.
Yeah. I will agree with you though. Like, it feels like an album flow that they really got well in this episode.
Yeah.
And like even in that, that is why I feel like watching Dipping Areas this time, not as sort of a jump into it on YouTube as part of like a sketch playlist, worked really well. It felt like this just had a really amazing flow, like right from the get-go with the pacing and the length of God is Dead, and then finishing up with the like absurdity of how mundane dipping areas was. Like, I think it kind of changed my experience, and I will agree with you. I think God is Dead was the strongest for sure, and I almost think that is one that I think has a sort of a universal appeal that I would add to our like show, someone who doesn't know Kids in the Hall, a sketch to get them on board. So I'm gonna join
idea.
You there. And what about your worst, Stu?
I mean, there's three hookers. Like, and they're all just one-liners. I got into a porn with the donkey was pretty lame, just because it was like, oh, I got to keep the donkey. I'm like, okay, yeah. And the magic beans wasn't great either. I think the $200 for a handjob is funny when it gets to Scott, being like, 25-cent handjob!
You know what the thing with the donkey joke is, Stu? I feel like we used to be more scandalized by like ideas like that, but now everyone has the internet.
Yeah.
We've seen the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not into the worst, you're not into it, and it's not scandalizing. It's
just
a gross thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
We've seen two girls, one cup.
Oh,
we don't,
boy.
You know, donkeys don't do nothing anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's
donkeys
right.
Donkeys do nothing for me.
Nothing for me. I love that Rudy hands them a three-sided pamphlet for their new hooker prices. I think that's really funny.
New price list.
New price list.
I like how she's like, what's your least favorite? And you're like, I liked pricing. I thought it was a good
pick. Hans, what were your favorite and worst sketches this time?
Yeah, I mean, I want to give it just a quick honorable mention to both Time Flies and The Dessert, because I like them both. I Time Flies in particular, because we haven't talked about it really. It was a good... I described it as we were watching it as like a very stagey sketch, which I feel like they've done less of in these later seasons and have had less success with overall in these later seasons. But this one was one that felt stagey, but actually I thought worked, and it worked because like they had the premise was good. They kind of stuck with it all the way through. It came to a kind of a good natural conclusion and it was over, like, as opposed to a very similar sketch, like the one where he falls asleep for 20 minutes and then like the world has changed and you guys mm-hmm. all like that. I didn't feel like it stuck it. This one did. So honorable mention to Time Flies because I thought it worked. But yeah, God is Dead was the standout for me. Like one of the best cold opens that I can think of. I also want to shout out, I'd like to do a toot for Mark's big German like mustache among the chops and the chin, like the chin strap beard. That was a good chin strap beard from Mark. A perfect cold open. Went through a couple of beats. The length, as Trevor said earlier, was exactly right for what it needed to do. Perfect cold open. I gave it a 4.75 Dead Gods out of 5.
Nice.
For a cold open, it's what it is. And worst sketch for me is the Montreal sketch.
Mine too.
Just because the content is difficult. Let's not inspire more rage from Scott on that by discussing it further. Yeah.
I'm going to give God is Dead the favorite because I think everyone's agreeing that is. But, I got to give honorable mention to New Boots.
Yes, that was so good.
New Boots has like a long time to wind up, but it does have just a very good payoff.
Amazing.
And,
payoff.
You know, I think like this is like faint praise in some ways, but like I think like it's the kind of humor that most people can appreciate too. Mm-hmm. Like if you had to show like your grandpa that sketch, grandpa would be like, ha ha ha, they got suckered, you know.
It's got mayo vibes, but it's still better than that.
It's beyond mayo though, where it's like you could even show like, yeah, like someone from the 1950s like your grandpa understands it. It's timeless,
yeah,
in a way.
You know? I mean, the joke is the bosses will screw you if you let them. You know, it's all a wreck.
Yeah. Also, like,
yeah, everything's a wreck.
Why did they take their socks too?
Cruelty. I mean,
so that they would be slower getting back to town to like lay charges, maybe. You know,
Trevor, what was your worst?
Can we also toot those slippers that?
Oh, those were good. That was a good.
I don't really think that there was anything that bad, except I guess Montreal. Like, will just say that. Yeah, to today's tastes, having a joke center around being. Yeah. Okay. I'm not. We have to protect Scott with our silence.
May he forever curse us. All right.
Don't Google it.
Well, that's it for our episode 5.
Wait,
review.
Hold on. You don't get to escape from this without giving us your.
Yeah, you have to give yours too.
I did. No, you didn't. Oh yeah, yeah. Yes, I agree with you. God is Dead is the best one. I will also join you on sort of second best honorable mention to Steel Toed Boots, Trevor, and then Buddy Cole for reasons unsaid is the worst.
Sure.
Huzzah! All right. Well,
huzzah!
That's it for our episode 5 review. Join us next week or whenever we finish editing for episode 6, which will be hosted by Mr. Stuart DC.
Longest season 5.
Ever.
Never ending podcast.
10 more years. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at Kith and Tell Pod. Weigh in on your favorite sketch and enjoy some delightful gifts. We also started an Instagram account, but who knows where that will go. Anyway.
We're afraid of Twitter now.
It's going to go. We're going to have all the best gift minds.
We're gonna have
Instagram
reels,
well.
Baby.
Thanks for listening to Kith and Tell. Bye.
Bye.